My name is Mike Morgan.
The title of our message is The Right to Be Wrong. Our text, Matthew chapter 22, verses 24 through 29.
About 6 years ago, the doctor said, "Mr. Morgan, you have high blood pressure and high cholesterol. If you continue to eat a lot of salt, cake, ice cream, and other foods that are clogging your arteries, you will die." Was he qualified to make such a statement? Absolutely. Could I have rejected his diagnosis? Yes. I had the right to be wrong. But I did not have the right to reject the truth and not suffer the consequences. In my case, failing health. How thankful I am that Dr. Wallace cared enough to tell me the truth. The Bible is like receiving sound advice from the doctor. Jesus said, "Enter eternity by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it." Is this statement true? Absolutely. Can I reject the truth? Yes. I have the right to be wrong, but I do not have the right to be wrong about the wide gate that leads to destruction and not receive the wages of sin, which is eternal separation from God in torment. Despite popular opinion, the Bible addresses the issues of life. The Word of God tells us how to live a happy, successful life, how to have our sins forgiven, and how to go to heaven. Confronted with the absolute truth of God's Word, every man, woman, and child above the age of accountability has one of two choices: accept or reject it. This morning, let's focus on one question. How much of God's Word can we reject or disregard and still go to heaven? I'm thankful to live in a country where we have religious freedom. People are free to believe what they want to believe and worship whatever they want to worship. God does not force people to follow what is written in the Bible. We will not be put in jail by the government, nor will lightning come from God and strike us dead because we do not obey God's word. But that does not mean that God accepts every church listed in the phone book. Although we enjoy religious freedom, the real issue is, do men have the right to be wrong about God's word and still be saved? Please consider these six questions. First, do men have the right to be wrong about faith in God and still go to heaven? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. This passage teaches that unless one believes that God exists and blesses those who serve Him, they cannot be right with God. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Since God has provided evidence for His existence, there is no excuse for a lack of faith. What about faith in Jesus Christ? John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John chapter 8, verse 24. Therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Well, I don't believe that, but you have the right to be wrong. Listen to John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he does not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. My friends, you need expert help to misunderstand what Jesus said. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. The evidence is sufficient to warrant the conclusion that God the Father exists, and his Son, Jesus, is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. The psalmist said, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." No man has the right to be wrong about faith in God and one day go to heaven. Number two, do men have the right to be wrong about believing the claims of the gospel? Paul said, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. His death was an atoning sacrifice. Romans chapter 3, verse 25. His death was for sin. When we were buried into his death, we came into possession of all the blessings he gained for us in his death. His death was also unto sin. When we were baptized into his death, we terminate our relationship with Satan and sin. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus are the facts of the gospel. Do men have the right to be wrong about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and say, "I'm saved, I'm right with God, God is pleased with me"? No, they don't. And then again, do men have the right to be wrong about obeying the gospel and still go to heaven? Romans chapter 6, verse 17. "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." This verse teaches that one must obey God from the heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. "Since you have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love for the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." We cannot obey the facts of the gospel, but we can obey that form of his death, burial, and resurrection. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." The old man of sin, he died and was buried in baptism, and was raised a new man by the power of God. Here's a question for you. Is the universalist right when he says all men will be saved? Listen to what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. "And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." The Apostle Paul said that vengeance will be taken on those who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's your opinion. No, it's not. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? According to God's word, those who have rejected the gospel of Christ will take their seat beside the rich man in torment. Men do not have the right to be wrong about obeying the gospel and still go to heaven. What else must we do to be saved? You must repent. Do men have the right to be wrong about repentance and still go to heaven? Twice in Luke chapter 13, Jesus told his audience, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." When the church was established in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent." After healing the lame man, Peter told the crowd that was gathered, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Throughout the book of Acts, repentance was required. What does it mean to repent? We've all heard the term about face. An about face is from a standing position to a 180-degree standing position. There's a term in the Navy that says, to the rear march. This is when troops are marching in one direction and turn 180 degrees and march in the other direction. Picture a drum major leading a band down the field. When he turns around and heads in the opposite direction, that band follows him. This is what repentance is. A change of the mind, heart, and will, which results in change of direction. It is a marching from Satan, turning around and marching to the Lord. Paul told the people of Athens, "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." Well, why should I repent? Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all men by raising him from the dead. Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. Once I become a Christian through repentance, confession, and scriptural baptism, do I have the right to continue in the filth of sin? God forbid. Do men have the right to be wrong about repentance and still go to heaven? No. Question number 5. Do men have the right to be wrong about confessing their faith in Christ and still go to heaven? Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We have examples of this great confession in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus asked Peter, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The Ethiopian eunuch made the good confession of faith in Acts chapter 8, verse 37. Then Philip said, "If you believe with all of your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Well, preacher, I don't believe any of that. You have the right to be wrong. But you do not have the right to be wrong about confessing your faith in Christ before men, and when this life is over, go to heaven. And six, do men have the right to be wrong about baptism? Up to this point, the majority of religious people, those who are not members of the Church of Christ, would agree that a man must believe that there is a God, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. A man must believe that Jesus is the Son of God and only Savior of men. A man must repent of sins. This is a willful decision to forsake sins and live for Jesus. And a man must confess Christ as Lord and Savior. Why? Because that's what the Lord said. It's written right here in this book. But we want to stop when we get to the water's edge. The same Lord that said, "For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." The same Lord that said, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And the same Lord that said, "With the mouth confession is made unto salvation," also said, "He that believeth and is baptized will be saved." Mark chapter 16, verse 16. I don't know about you, but I want to know what I have to do in order to have my sins forgiven. Anyone who is sincere and honest will want to know what they must do to be saved. Listen to a portion of the first gospel sermon preached on the day of Pentecost. "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." When Peter said, "Repent and be baptized," no one said, "I'm not doing that because it makes no sense." How did they respond? Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. After 3 days of blindness, fasting, and prayer, Ananias said to Paul, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Remember that verse where Paul said, "Wait a minute, Ananias, I don't think that's necessary." Well, of course you don't, because there's no such verse in the Bible. Paul did not question the essentiality of baptism for the remission of sins. He arose immediately and did what the Lord wanted him to do. Could Paul have been wrong about baptism for the remission of sins and still been right with God? No. Listen to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." How many have put on Christ as Lord and Savior? As many as have been scripturally baptized, no more and no less. By the way, there is nothing special about the water. The power is in our faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save us His way. Well, my pastor said, "All I have to do is say the sinner's prayer and accept Jesus in my heart, and I will be saved." Consider these four facts. First, a careful study of the cases of conversion in the book of Acts reveals two things. A sinner is never instructed or encouraged to pray for his or her salvation, and there are no examples of anyone saying the sinner's prayer or even the text of the sinner's prayer in the Bible. Second, some claim that Acts chapter 2, verse 21 is a proof text for the so-called sinner's prayer. The call contemplated in this passage was fulfilled when penitent sinners surrendered to the terms of the gospel plan of redemption. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Number 3, saying, "Lord, Lord," is not enough. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does, literally, persistently does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Matthew 7, verse 21. Jesus also said, "And why do you call me, Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" The mere act of calling out the Lord's name in an attempt to access divine mercy in the absence of obedience is like chasing after the wind. And number 4, Saul's prayer did not save him. Saul of Tarsus prayed for 3 days after arriving in the city of Damascus. Yet his sins were not washed away until he was immersed in water in obedience to the divine command. If there was ever a case of the sinner's prayer being exercised, surely this was it. Yet his sincere prayer for forgiveness did not save him. How much of God's word can we reject or disregard and still go to heaven? Answer, none of it. The gospel of Christ must be obeyed, and the New Testament pattern of worship must be followed. Satan does not care if you go to church, read your Bible, and pray, as long as your religious beliefs and practices are contrary to Scripture. The truth of God's Word will make us free. Error will cause us to be lost. This morning, have you been right about faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ, repentance of sin, confessing Christ before men, and being buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sins? My friends, this is a yes or no answer. Satan gently whispers, "Oh, listen, God's just playing with you. You don't have to obey the gospel." If you have not been right about these things, we plead with you this morning to get right, right now, while it is still called today. If you have obeyed the gospel and for whatever reason left your first love, make your life right today by repenting of sins, confessing that sin to God, asking Him to forgive you, and go sin no more. We pray that you will do it right now while it is still called.